Strike.
Oh, yeah.
Keep turning. Why is the wind holding it that much?
After what seems like an eternity, the Slappy Cut is back.
We've had a bit of an absence.
We have. Episode 24, I think we're on.
Yep.
We're nearly at a quarter century.
Wow. You were away.
I was away. I was on the Sunshine Coast.
Was it sunny?
No. No, we had lots of rain, but had a great time.
Did you? So,
had a nice B&B. They had a little pool and spa out the front.
Where'd you stay?
At Coolum Beach.
Coolum?
Yeah. Like nice. Right near the, like up the hill, but near the main drag. So
yeah, sweet.
It was like 300 meter walk to the beach from there.
Nice.
Could see the beach from the house. Couple of stories. Good for the kids.
Happy days.
So I had a great time.
That's good.
No golf was played.
You don't want to play golf when you go away with your family.
No, I don't think so. We we went to Australia Zoo one day.
Oh yeah.
Went to Dreamworld on the way up.
Did Charlie love that?
Yeah, he frothed it. So he was just tall enough for a lot of like the 90 centimeter rides. So it was like there was this Wiggles coaster. And man, it was hectic.
He
so
liked it.
I had to be on there with him. He loved it. I was scared.
Yep.
It goes quick.
Yeah.
So I frothed. I love roller coasters.
Did you go on any by yourself?
Yeah. So I had my brother-in-law there, Richie, who just loves roller coasters.
Does he?
Yeah. So I went on with him. So they had that, like that Taipan one, I think it's, or something like that. Like it's named after a snake. It's one of the new ones. It's awesome. It was great fun. There's a couple other ones there we went on, which were good fun.
Lovely.
Yeah. But yeah, had a great, the Claw. I love the Claw.
So do I now.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah, it's good fun. So you're talking about putting grips.
I am. Yeah.
Welcome to the club.
Thanks, mate. Yeah. Yeah, we go to Movie World and SeaWorld a fair bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Kids love it.
Yeah.
There's a ride at Movie World, like the Scooby-Doo ride.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not that scary, but it's so rough. Like, your ribs get smashed.
Is that the one that takes you, like, into, like, it's, like, underground or, like...
Yeah.
And then it goes forwards, backwards and everything? Yeah.
Yeah, it's mental.
Yeah.
Yeah. You come out just going, holy crap.
Yeah, what just happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's good fun having...
We took Teddy on the log ride.
Oh, yeah.
When he was, I'm going to say, 4 or 5.
Yeah.
He just got in the height and he was crapping himself, but he didn't see anyone come down. We kind of got him in while no one come down.
Okay.
And he didn't know what was happening.
Yeah.
So, when you go in there, you get in the log and you sit down, you go around the corner, just floating. And then it drags you up this steep hill.
Yeah.
And you get to the top of the steep hill, it spins you around, and I didn't know, but you just go and fall backwards. And
yep.
I was like, shit. And Ted's like, Dad. Like, it's all right, man. And then get out, and like, he didn't have time to think.
Yeah, it just
and
drops.
It drops, man. And we all hook it.
Yeah.
And then he got off. I was like, do you want to go again? He just goes, no. It's like, okay.
I think you did it right. Like, there's nothing worse getting to like the top there than having to walk back down because they freaked out the last minute. And so, that's good.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Excellent.
Yeah, it was good fun.
But yeah.
No, the kids love it, mate.
Yeah,
good. We'll go back again when Teddy's a bit older. He kind of gets a bit scared though.
Understandable.
Yeah,
understandable. They're pretty full on rides.
Yeah.
So that's what they're meant for, bud.
Yeah.
It's all safe.
Yeah.
Put the hands up and hope for the best.
Until someone falls out.
Yeah. Man, we've just come out of Easter. Did you do anything fun?
Yeah, just hung here, actually. Just hung at home, mate.
Excellent.
Had 4 days off, which was good.
Yep.
I ate a lot of chocolate.
As you do.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot. Cara went ballistic with the kids' chocolate, so...
Yep.
On... Oh, Teddy doesn't listen and Bally won't listen, so I can talk about it. So on Easter night, or Easter Eve, we put like, I'm going to say we put a packet of 38, a pack of 18, and another pack of 18 eggs around our house and out the front yard.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they found them all.
Yeah, of course they
did. Plus all the other eggs. They got like 70 eggs each.
Wow.
And I said to Cara, like, yeah, it's good. We're going to give them to them, but... Then we've got to say no.
Yeah.
Because they're going to like...
They're going to hook into so much chocolate.
Man. So, I've been helping them out a fair bit.
Yeah, good. Good. No, we went with, because like Charlie's only two, so he has no real concept on what's enough.
Yeah.
So he started, like, he was hooking in a bit, and then he got full, and then started just opening them and not eating them.
Yeah, right.
So that's, I had to start eating all these unwrapped chocolates. So
it's good.
We sort of just went in with the idea that if he eats too much, he gets a tummy ache. It's a learning curve, right?
What's your favorite egg? Do you have a favorite?
Oh, I don't know. Like, I love those. You know, those. No one can see me doing this, but those like hollow Cadbury eggs,
yeah,
like medium size, whatever. Yep. They're just so nice.
There's heaps out there if you want them.
Well, there you go.
Yep.
Might hook into one later.
Yep. They're good, eh?
But yeah, they're my favorite. Like nice, like thin bit of chocolate. You don't feel like you're eating a heap.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Yeah,
it's good.
Doesn't stick in your teeth.
Far out. I love chocolate.
Yes.
It's dangerous.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of the solid little ones.
Yeah.
Cadbury's.
Yep.
Mate.
Man, I remember one year, it used to be a tradition, you get like the big hollow eggs, and the tradition was to crack it over Dad's head. I used to love doing that. And that's, I think, I don't know if this like actually happened. I just have this memory of one year, one of us got an egg like that, but it was solid.
Oh, what?
And hit Dad over the head with it.
Ouch.
I don't know if that actually happened. I just have this memory. I don't know if I saw it on a movie or what, but I just have this memory of that happening.
Wow.
So
he wouldn't have been too happy.
No, that would suck. It would suck. So
that's good.
But good time. We spent it up at the farm out near Ebor.
Oh, yeah. It would have been cold Easter morning.
It was cold in the morning, and then during the day it was lovely.
Yeah, so it was cold here. Yeah. I had Ugg boots on.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Yeah, so we had an absolute cracker. Like, I worked Saturday morning, we left after that and got up there, and it got to about 9:30 at night, and Emma comes up and he goes, oh man, Brennan, I've stuffed up. So what happened?
Left the eggs at home.
I left all the eggs, like for Charlie and our niece and nephew who were there as well.
Oh no.
Left them all at the coast. Luckily, Emma's parents, like they had other commitments, they weren't coming up until the next morning. So we had just enough stuff that I bought. So I bought Emma and I like these big bunnies.
Yeah.
Right. So we put them out for the kids, did all this other like sort of like some teddies and that we had there just to make it look good, and left a note there from the Easter bunny. You know, Nanny and Pop want a Easter egg hunt with you. So you can't, but you can do this in the meantime. So we had like a little arts and crafts sort of thing. Hid some clues around the farm. So you had to go around the farm. Oh, like Emma's creative. Yeah. Luckily. So I was ready. I had the car keys. I'm going down the mountain. You know, save Easter.
How many stubbies have you had by then?
Yep.
Yeah.
I was hoping I could hold on.
Yeah,
so,
wow.
Especially after it was that night. That was the night Dragons won too.
Oh, so yeah.
Dragons beat Manly.
They did beat Manly.
And so I was over the moon.
You would have been
pumped. I was ready to go. Could have lasted hours. So,
mate. Our kids got up at 3:59.
Wow.
They come in and I finally was asleep for once.
Yep.
I snored my head off and then, the Easter Bunny has come! They ran into our room. I was like, shit, what time is it? 3:59. I watched it click over to 4. I was like, no way.
No, go back to bed.
No, they didn't. No.
Didn't.
No, stayed up. Stayed up. They didn't get to eat the eggs till about 7 or 8.
Yeah.
6 maybe.
Yep.
But yeah, 4 a.m.
That's crazy.
So early.
Man, Charlie slept until about 7:30, 8 o'clock. It was lovely.
They were so excited though, because they get like a tracksuit, like not a tracksuit, a pyjamas every year.
Yeah.
Like Ugg boots and stuff. And
yep.
It's almost like a mini Christmas now.
Yeah, it is.
It's bullshit.
It is. So I know like a lot around the what we hid. So we, like, there's a bit of chocolate, but these like little plastic eggs that you open up. And Emma left like little like squishy toys and that in them as well. So still looking for something, but not everything. It was just chocolate.
Yeah.
That's
good.
Yeah, it's pretty.
I'll tell you what I did do. I played heaps of backyard cricket with Ted.
Oh, yeah?
Ted scored 2 tons and I got 1 ton. So, we just keep playing.
Yeah.
So, our backyard's tiny. It's like a like fake grass. You got four walls, actually. Like four fences. Three fences and a pool fence.
Yep.
And so, he's a lefty. So, at the start, he just kept hitting these like slog sweeps over the fence.
Okay.
Lost 10 balls in like 10 minutes.
Oh, wow.
So, I threw them all back and then we swapped sides. So, he was hitting towards the house.
Yep.
So, like the window's out. The left, like, so you got the wall and the full's 4. Wall and the other full is 4. The back wall and the full's 6.
Yep.
On the bounce is 1 and 1 and 4.
Yep.
That was pretty cool. So
we you just got two
going,
tons.
We just kept going back and forth, and you end up getting, you got like 110, 103 from about 30 bats.
Were you just bowling a straight pies to him, were you?
No, I was actually trying to put spin on it. So he's got good hand eye.
Oh, good on him.
And then, yeah.
Is he bat left handed as well?
Yeah.
Does he bowl right or left?
Right.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
Yeah. He plays a two handed left hand, one hand right hand.
Yeah, cool.
Which is weird.
So, what about for, because he plays a bit of tennis, doesn't right he? Right handed tennis player? Yeah. Oh, cool.
Yeah, but the other day he picked the ball up and threw it left handed like it was normal.
Not a bad skill. Oh. Yeah, impressive.
Yeah, so it's cool. I actually enjoyed it.
Well, it's been a hectic time then.
It was good.
What's around?
And Valley was playing. She was smacking it.
That's awesome.
She can just lift the bat.
Yep.
Being a midget and four, but...
Yep.
Yeah, it was cool.
Oh, I can't really wait for that. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, it's good fun, man.
Excellent. Yeah, well,
loved it.
On more golf terms, mm-hmm. which I believe is what this podcast is about.
Oh, yeah. Not family?
Yeah. No, Coffee and Brando's parenting tips.
Yeah.
To back to the golf. Yep. Masters is coming up very shortly.
Absolutely.
You as excited as I am?
Yeah, I am. I'm going to get back from Thailand and be straight into it, I think.
That's right. You got a trip over there with a crew. And
with a crew, yeah.
Going over there, see a something and...
See something and do some stuff.
Do some stuff and then come back home.
Yep. It's work-based.
It is work-based, yeah.
But no, mate, I can't wait. It's by far... What is it? It's in how many weeks? Three or two?
Maybe two.
Two.
Yeah. We're in April now.
It's by far my favourite event of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Can't wait.
Yep. The 3 a.m. starts.
Yep. Yep. And happy to get up.
Yes. Like, you're excited.
I am. I will be. Yeah, mate. Who's going to win?
So, this was... It was hard to think about.
Actually, before that, you know they invited Taylor Gooch?
Oh, did they?
He got a start.
Oh, about time.
Yeah.
He's been playing well. So...
But yeah, I think they gave him the last invite.
Oh, good on him.
Yeah.
Good on him. It's good to see they're not just sticking with that PGA. They're broadening out a bit.
Yeah, so...
So, Taylor deserves it. He's played well enough, I think.
He has.
He's in that... Definitely in that top echelon of players.
He is. He's good.
So... Oh, that's really positive. I hope he does well.
Yeah,
he should. Yeah, as far as winning goes, I think it's... Like, you go with the obvious. It is really hard to look past Scottie Scheffler at the moment.
Mate, I've got him winning by about six.
He's red hot at the moment.
Yeah.
Red hot. And if you just, like... I think we talked about this a couple episodes ago, but, like, statistically speaking, you don't have to putt that well. You just got to put it in the right spot.
Yeah.
And as far as, like... tee to green goes shots gained, he's number one. So, you know, he's hitting that driver as good as he does and hitting those shots in as good as he does.
Mate, I just don't see him losing.
No, but he can lose. Got a runner up this week.
He did. Yeah. It was
a pretty poor putt.
Yeah. He had like three doubles, I think, that week too.
Yeah. Yeah. he did it tough. So,
yeah.
But man, he's got game. It's going to be hard to see.
Yeah.
Anyone beating that.
So, besides Scheffler winning by 1,000, who's your top pick?
You're not going to like this.
Rory.
Is it Rory? I've picked Rory.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
He's going to get it done.
I want him to win, mate, but he...
The career slam.
He always just lets you down, mate.
He does.
You know?
He does. He's always letting me down, but it has to happen one year.
Does it?
He plays too well.
Not enough.
He's too good a player.
Not enough, but it does. Has to happen.
I think he's too good a player. But plenty of great golfers in history haven't won it.
That's right. Korf.
Yep.
Mate, who's your top Aussie?
Jason Day.
Okay, we've gone the same then.
Yeah, that was a pretty easy one for me, I think.
Scotty?
I don't know. I don't see him like... I see a lot more of Jason Day on those leaderboards now. Yep. I'm not seeing a lot of Scotty.
Fair enough.
But it is one of those places where experience beats anything else. But I think Jason Day's got just as much experience around there.
He does, mate.
But, you know, it is a course where the older guy can win.
Correct.
And it's not... I was watching with Owsley. I was re-watching the... I want to say 86.
Nicholas
won his last one. And it was just awesome. We're looking at that, like that little 7-8 hole stretch he had on the back.
amazing.
Oh, man. And then just looking at the leaderboard, like, you got, like, Seve was at the top for most of it. You got Nicholas, obviously. Norman, I think a lot of people feel he was charging. Like, he should have won or been in a playoff. He was charging after him. And it was just such an impressive leaderboard to look at.
So good.
And just watching this old fox just...
I think he's a bear, mate.
The old bear.
I think he's a bear, not a fox.
The old bear. Just get it round. It was so so impressive. I love watching that. So, but yeah, it is, of course, the older guy can win.
Correct.
Disappointed Cabrera's not coming back.
He just reminded me of my dark horse. One of my dark horses.
One of your dark horses.
Yeah.
You know, if you put a dollar on everyone in the field, you're bound to get a win.
I've got a stable of dark horses.
A stable of dark horses?
Yeah.
that's what... our boss is terrible for that. Have you seen him put Masters picks on?
Yeah.
He comes out with this thing of tickets that's just thick. And it...
He does it after about 4,000 stubbies.
Yeah, and then just bets on everyone.
And forgets how many he's put on.
Yeah, yeah, he just bets on everyone.
Who is your dark horse?
My dark horse. I said this before. So Heath
Pagala.
I think he's got the game. It's just he just needs a good week.
Yep.
So I can see him getting up there.
I like it.
Can't really put Justin Thomas as a dark horse. He's too good to be.
He's a Palomino.
Dark. So Palomino.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Well, he's a light horse.
He's a light horse. Light okay. Horse. Light, okay.
Do you know what a Palomino is?
No, I don't know much about horses.
Mate. Chestnut?
I'm guessing that's a colour of horse.
All right, we'll talk about this later.
Or Freddie Cuffles.
Yeah, he's like a Clydesdale. He'd be dog food, actually.
He's in the glue factory.
Do you have any like first round leaders? For the Masters, I rarely bet.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't have any money. But I always put like a first round leader on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First round. I didn't even think about first round leader.
It's normally like Charlie Hoffman or something.
You get someone random. Bubba Watson.
Yeah.
Someone random. Yeah. Like, you can't say random. He's won it twice. But, yeah, he'll just come out for a round.
Yeah.
Oosthuizen, he's known. Taylor Gooch. I think we're forgetting him. He could come out with a hot round and... you know, guys like I don't think you'll see someone like, and you could, but someone like Scottie Scheffler or Koepka or Rory probably won't be the top. They'll just shoot their steadies.
Little 4 under 60, yeah, 68.
Just shoot their steadies and then go from there. Where you do always get the guy who comes in red hot,
yeah,
7 under, and then you look back later and he's 44 over.
Yeah.
So, and wait, it could be. There's what, 5 or 6 amateurs playing.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Jasper Stubbs
might.
Stubbsy
might come out with a round. Mm. I look forward to it.
Yeah, same. So, mate, I've gone to win, besides Scheffler, by 6. Ludvig Åberg.
That's a great bet.
I reckon he's going to... he's going to have a big event.
Yeah.
And then I've also got Xander top 5.
Well, Xander's...
I don't even like Xander.
Yeah, but he's currently leading... What,
as a golfer. I don't know what he's like as a person.
He's currently leading consecutive cuts made. Like, current consecutive cuts.
Yeah, so I got him top 5. Jason Day's my Aussie.
Yep. Cam Smith going to do any good?
Probably. Didn't have him, though. Mm-hmm. He probably will.
Yep.
I'll get my boss to put some money on him.
Perfect.
My dark horses... Have you actually seen Dark Horses, the TV series?
No, is it good?
It's sick.
Worth watching?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man, I've been getting into like the documentaries they have on there.
Have you?
I watched one the other day. Just I was doing some work.
How to Become a Killer.
No, but I do love those type of books and movies. Yeah, I get right into them. But I was watching, I just needed some background noise. I was on the computer doing some work and just needed some background noise. And this thing popped up called The Lost Leonardo. It's just about this piece of like artwork.
Yeah.
After about 10 minutes, I found myself computer shut and I'm absolutely hooked.
Yeah.
I know nothing about art. I have zero interest.
Who stole it?
It was this piece of art. I forget the name of it now. It had a funny first name. And then...
DiCaprio.
No. But it was like... It looked like a picture of Jesus. Right? And so it was just this piece of artwork that sort of disappeared for a long time. And then popped up in America somewhere. Went to auction, sold for like $450 million.
Jesus.
To some guy in Saudi Arabia. And it hasn't been seen since. So, you know, the Louvre wants to get their hands on it so they can have a bit more of a better look at it, because there's rumors it might not be real. And
yeah.
Like, the painting is documented as real, but...
Mate, the Louvre, have you been there?
No.
I've been there twice.
Yep.
It is wild.
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah, I've seen it. Well, they've showed a lot in this thing here, like the documentary.
The Mona Lisa is about as big as an A4 bit of paper.
I've heard it's tiny.
And it's not even... Oh, yeah, it's a picture of no expression, but...
And the eyes follow you.
Yeah, but every fucking painting does that. It's not even that... Like, it is impressive, but you've read about it and heard about it your whole life and you get there. And I was kind of like...
Disappointed.
Hmm.
Well, I think you just think it's going to be bigger.
Yeah, it's tiny.
It's tiny, but I think that's the history and it's how long...
1.5 yeah. times that.
Yeah, no, we used to do French at school, and the teacher, we did a whole thing on it. She showed us like an actual size thing of it, and it was very unimpressive.
Yeah. Yeah. Heaps of statues of men with no clothes on.
Yes.
Concerning. A little bit. Don't know what they did back then, but yeah.
How did you compare?
Well, they all made them with tiny little hairy goings. Have you seen like all the Davids and all those?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you felt pretty good.
Yeah, I was all right. Like, if you're going to make a statue...
Give yourself a good one.
Yeah, far out.
Yeah.
You wouldn't make them like that.
No. No, poor buggers.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So my dark horse is Minwoo.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
And also the fox.
The fox.
The fox, you reminded me of that.
Yeah.
I don't know what you said.
It said silver fox.
That's right. And then first round leaders, I've gone Rory, because then he'll shit the bed. And then Brian Harman.
Brian's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's always pretty steady.
Yeah, so I'm going to put money on them.
It's hard to see Scheffler.
5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, $40 I'm going to spend.
Hard to see Scheffler going bad, but...
Yeah, if you put 100 on him being top five...
It's almost guaranteed money back.
Yeah. I don't know what it would pay.
Don't quote us on that.
Yeah, allegedly.
Allegedly. So, well, I think Scottie Scheffler, he's been talked about at the moment with, you know, all these comparisons with Tiger, and just like, and to even be in the same conversation, having the same run as Tiger, has got to be worth something, right?
He's incredible, mate. Like, this is the best anyone's ever played since Tiger. What, 2008 or something, or 3 or 2 or 1 or
yeah, it'd be those early 2000s. Yeah,
it's the second best ever ball striking period to Tiger.
To Tiger,
it goes Tiger, Scheffler, Tiger.
Yeah, is that striking or scoring?
Scoring. Yeah,
Tiger's the only one with a 67.
Yeah,
like under 68.
Yeah,
adjusted average, and then Tiger's just got the next like 10.
Yeah, I don't know. If he keeps going the way he is.
What was the thing I saw? He's at like 25 or like it might have been more like consecutive rounds under par.
Yeah, he wrecked that with the double bogey in the last.
Oh, did he?
Third round.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Oh, poor bugger.
Yep.
But that was like, that's a stretch. That's a lot of good golf.
It's incredible.
200 and something under par or whatever it was. Or 100.
What are you?
This year?
Yeah.
Over my 5 rounds, I'd be close to under par.
Would you?
Not many.
That's good.
That's because I had like 2 really good rounds under par, an even par, and then a couple that were pretty heavy over, but they were cancelled out by the the good ones. So, but they'll average out to about 2-3 over for the year.
That's pretty good.
In the end.
Happy days, mate.
Yeah. You know, it should be good. But like I was looking a bit deeper into this like Scheffler Tiger comparison, and the more I look into it, the more of a chopper Scottie Scheffler is
compared to Tiger.
Okay. And the guy's not a chopper, right? I think like the first thing, and I asked my partner before I left home. I asked her. I said, "Do you know who Scottie Scheffler is?" And she looked at me blank, like, "No, I don't," which is fine. Knows nothing about golf, but who's Tiger Woods? You ask that to anybody.
They all know.
He's just a rock star.
Yeah.
All right. So, and he just brought this whole new like crowd in. I saw a there was a stat there. So on average, right? So each player's scoring average, right? When Tiger plays in the field, so it's not even if you're playing with him. If you're playing in the field, on average, every other player is going to shoot, I think it was 0.8 of a shot worse than their average.
Wow.
Just because he's turned up.
The Tiger effect.
The Tiger effect. So just because he's turned up, you're going to play 0.8 of a shot worse.
That's pretty cool.
And they said, like, put it out, it's probably not just, like, it's probably not Tiger, but it's the crowd he brings in. Yeah. And then brings all this extra atmosphere and nerves and pressure.
More pressure.
I don't know what the number was if you're playing with him, but I can't imagine it's good.
No.
But I just couldn't believe that. Tear him to a tournament, like, I've already got a shot on you.
On the 150 obvious.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
It was just a crazy number. But even looking at, like golf win percentage, right? So, it's got, like, most of the stats are done on players who have played more than, like, 100 PGA Tour events. So, yeah. Scotty's not quite there. He's played 49
PGA Tour
events. He's only been around since that 2022 or 21.
Yeah, okay.
So he's only, like, he's only 27. He hasn't been on the scene very long. He's just taken off.
Yeah, true. Okay.
But, yeah, he's played, like, that's PGA Tour events. So if he's played European and whatever else, they weren't included in that. Yeah. But his win rate percentage is 16.3%, which is massive, right? If you golf people who have played over 100 events, right, there's nobody, I think the best, apart from Tiger, the best was Rory, who's at a hair under 10. So he's like 9.something% win rate, right? Tiger Woods is at 22.8.
Wow.
He's played 359 events. So just like that dominance over a long period of time.
Yeah. It's next level, mate.
Is just crazy. If you go off like Scottie Scheffler's wins, so I think he's had 8 wins on the tour and then one major. I think there was a couple of years where Tiger did better than that in a year.
Yeah.
Like 2009 wins and 3 majors. So like just in the year, like,
and holy dooly.
it's only early days. Yeah. But you got to think like...
Well, 2000 was his third year on tour.
That's right. That's right. So it's scary numbers when you compare that. Like I was telling you today, I wish I was playing and into golf when he was at his... Like when he just started getting on the scene. So like I didn't start playing golf. I think it was about 2004.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So I was 11 or 12 when I started and then started to get like keen into it.
When were you born?
92. And then like got keen on it, but you know, a few years after that, and then started watching it and stuff like that. And you know, by that time Tiger was still the man and everyone knew of him, but he wasn't as dominant as he was then and just whooping fields. And
I remember it so clear. I used to love it.
Yeah. What about you had that win at, was it Torrey Pines US? He was 12 under par, won by 15.
Yeah.
Like that's just unheard of.
Yeah.
Unheard of, like that amount of wins. What was another good one? 46 weeks as world number one. No, sorry, weeks at world number one was 80 for Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah.
Right? So, which is, it's up there. Yeah. It's in the top 5, I think, of all time.
Yeah, well, you got Tiger, then Greg.
Yeah. And then it drops down pretty drastically from there. So, he's got 80 weeks at world number one.
What was Greg? 150 or 350?
350, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tiger Woods, 683. So, Scottie Scheffler has to be world number one. Like, and it's possible. He's only 27. If he can stay world number one for the next 11 years straight, when he's 38 years old.
Is that how long it is?
11 years more. And he'll be world number one. Like, and he'll take over Tiger.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
So, the 46 weeks is Scottie Scheffler's longest longest streak of weeks. So, that was from May last year up until April this year. So he's still world number one. He's going to add on to that, right? Tiger had two. He holds the two longest streaks. First one of 281 weeks and the next one of 264 weeks. And then in that, he's got another one of 50 weeks as world number one.
That's incredible.
Like 281 weeks. It's like 4 or 5 years straight, twice.
Yeah, wow.
When you put it like that, it's just crazy. Scottie Scheffler, consecutive cuts made. So, I think this is still running. It's 33, right? Tiger Woods was at, where was it? 142.
Consecutive.
Consecutive cuts. So, get this, right? He didn't miss a cut between 1999 and 2004. In 1998, he made 19 of 20. And in 2005, he made 19 of 21. So, like, it's just so long. It's like more than 5 years straight of just making cuts. And playing, like, he was playing between 19 and 21 rounds a year.
Yeah.
Of tournaments a year, sorry, in that. So, it's just...
Far out, yeah.
Mental numbers. Like, and again, Scotty's only young.
And you still reckon he's not the best ever?
No, I don't. No, so I wanted to, like, thinking mathematically here, how many majors did you say, how many, like, PGA Tourings is a major worth?
10.
10. So then Jack Nicklaus has 30 more, so he's won 102.
He's got 18 majors.
He's got, so yeah, so he's got, he had 180 onto his,
yeah.
And you can add 150 onto Woods,
yeah.
And all of a sudden Nicklaus has 40 or 20 something more wins.
Yeah. But you read that stuff.
So, you read that sort of, like, it's, I think it's, I don't think, like, Nicklaus was great, but I don't think he didn't drag crowds in like Tiger does. Tiger just took it to a whole new, and again, I reckon if I asked my wife who Jack Nicklaus was, she'd look at me blankly.
She'd say, oh, he's the actor.
Either that or she'd say, is that the golfer with one arm? No, it's Jack Newton.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, everyone knows who Tiger is.
Before we keep going, do another beer?
I think I do. All right. Let's put a pause on this.
Pause it.
And we're back, mate.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome Thanks. Back.
Thanks for the chalky egg.
It's all right.
Yeah, very thoughtful.
Took that out of Teddy's stash.
Yeah, sorry, Teddy. When you're listening to this when you're older.
Mate, he won't know.
Doesn't hold grudges.
There's only 58 left.
Coffee.
Yes, mate.
Coffee in history.
Oh, all right.
I've got some interesting ones here.
Where are we going to?
So, I've got three.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
So, I'm going to go with number one. Mm-hmm. Ever heard of a guy called Scott Hoch?
No.
No.
Hock or Hoch?
Hock, maybe. Hoch. H-O-C-H.
No.
Hosh is how I'd pronounce it.
Hock.
You'd pronounce Hock? I'd go Hosh. The 1989 Masters.
Yeah, he won it, didn't he? No.
He falls into a sudden death playoff with Nick Faldo.
Yeah, and he does some three, four putts on the 10th or something.
First playoff hole is number 10.
Yeah.
Faldo makes a bogey 5.
Yeah.
Hosh or Hock?
It's Hock.
You sure?
I'm positive.
Hock. Okay, Hock. Putting for birdie, he putts and leaves himself 2.5 feet for par.
Yeah.
He looks at it for 2 minutes. This is real.
Yeah.
Looks up and down both ways. He steps up and then backs off. In his mind, unsure if he should be going straight and firm or play for the break. He ends up hitting it firm and allowing for break. rolling the ball 5 foot past the hole. He makes the bogey putt and proceeds to lose to Faldo on the next. Faldo holder, like a 25 footer, and wins.
What hole do they play next? 11?
No.
Do they play 18?
Don't they get... They go like 10, 17, 18, something like that?
Yeah.
I thought.
It's weird you brought that up. I watched that, I reckon, about 3 months ago.
Oh, did you?
That
very moment.
The playoff, yeah.
Then you know the putt well. Could you hold the 2.5 footer to win?
Well, first things first, I wouldn't have left myself 2.5 foot.
You would have held it. Yeah. You would have won.
No, well, if he had the birdie, how long was the birdie putt?
I'm not sure. I couldn't get many facts on that. That green's pretty treacherous.
With the claw, I reckon I hold it.
With the claw, newly adapted claw?
Yeah.
What
pure,
about
pure greens, yeah, I'm holding it.
You're holding it?
Yeah.
I think you will too. Mm. So, it's a pretty interesting green, that one. It's pretty slope.
She's steep.
She's steep. Yep. So, interesting one. You're going to hold the 2.5 footer?
Yeah.
To win the Masters.
Yeah.
Well done, mate.
Hypothetically, yeah.
Well done. Thank you. 1989 Masters champion, Tyler Corf.
Yeah.
Number two.
Yeah.
2015 US Open.
Chambers Bay.
You're so good. Yeah. I'm impressed with your memory of this stuff. Dustin Johnson coming up the 18th on Sunday. Hitting two great shots.
I would not have three-putted.
Into the par five. DJ famously three-putts, giving Spieth the win.
Man.
You ready?
Yes.
My questions are, can you one putt and win? Could you two putt and force a playoff? Or would you famously seven putt to finish outside the top 10?
It's one or three. What I say, A or three. A or C. Jesus. The putt had heaps of swing to it, I think. It went right to left a long way by memory.
Yep.
That
course was brutal. I think four under par one or five. Yeah,
they'll blow it up, but that's when Smithy shot stumped the
frame. It. Yeah.
That's where he shot to start him then.
Yeah. Well, that last hole, the last day, he stumped it.
Yeah.
Eagled it to like make it into
top four or something.
Something like that. Yeah. Mm. Got an exemption to all this other stuff.
One putt, probably not.
Okay. So one putt's off.
Two putt.
Force a playoff.
Yep.
Yep.
Seven putt not happening.
You're not going to have a seven putt?
Never have.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well done.
I'd reckon I'll force a playoff.
What's the most amount of putts you've ever had on a hole?
I've had four.
Yeah, I've had four putts before. Times.
I've had four a few times.
Recently?
Yeah, I was playing with you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's half the reason I went to the claw.
Yeah, understandable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But did Very you good. See how I walked off the green after I did it? Water off a duck's back.
Yeah, right? You're very good. Very good.
Just when I get home, there's holes in the wall.
I would have jumped in the lake, I think.
Correct.
Number three.
Okay.
The year. 2005.
Mm.
You're on the football field.
Oh, shit. You've
taken the ball out of dummy half.
Yep.
And you go for a run.
Yep.
Famously, that run causes I won't say career ending, but a career reoccurring knee injury.
You can say career ending.
Career ending yep. knee injury. My question to you before we get into this.
Fucking passed it.
Would you, A, if you had your time over again, would you A, pass the ball, B, learn nothing and go for the run again? Or C, use your knowledge of the play and go the other way?
A,
you'd pass.
Yeah, I was actually chatting about this to my dad the other day.
Yeah.
And it's funny you bring this up. We're going to be here for hours now.
Yep.
But, so it was the only reason that like, so I never played hooker ever.
Yeah.
I've played half my whole life. The only reason I played hooker was it was a trial match for like group three versus group two to pick the North Coast Open side.
Yep.
And so I think me and this other guy shared the hooking duties because the halfback was too good.
So he was set in stone.
Yeah, yep. I couldn't budge him. So yep. The only reason I ran it is because I was trying to impress the selectors.
Understandable.
It was like the second run off a kick. They kicked it downfield to about just before halfway. They did a hit up and then I was like, oh, I'm going to have a run. And had a run and then this guy tackled me as I kind of offended him and popped the old ACL, just tore it.
Ouch.
It wasn't great, mate.
Yeah.
It wasn't great.
Yeah, I thought I'd just bring it up.
Thank you.
Have a chat about it.
And then the worst part about the whole thing, excuse me, is I got scans, tore the ACL, whatever. I did 3 months of rehab, like full on 3 months of rehab, just leg weights for 3 months, was doing all the tests. I started training about a month out. And the boys in first grade made the semis and so reserve grade. So I was like, sweet, making a comeback. I'm going to play, come off the bench of first grade. I'll go and play like 20 minutes in Reggie's just to warm the legs.
Yep.
All right. So I passed all the fitness tests at physio. Like I was running and jumping off one leg, landing on one leg, moving laterally, training. AC was fine.
Everything's looking good.
I was rare and I was pretty pumped up. I was excited. So just before halftime in Reggie's, I went on just to warm the legs up. I was playing hooker, actually. And I went pass, pass, pass. And the back rower, Vanderdonk, made a break. I can still remember it. And I supported him, and he gave me the ball straight away. So I had the fullback to beat.
You said so he's a big forward, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's a back rower. Okay,
runner, yeah.
But he's running on a treadmill. He wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
He gave me the ball. And I just had the fullback to beat, and I just went run, run, went to step off the left, and just went step, and it went snap.
Oh.
Just snapped it clean half, and I just dropped to the ground, got up, played the ball, and just I just walked off the field.
Yeah, that was the end.
So, 3 months just down the drain. It was, that's the worst I've ever felt.
Yeah, I could imagine.
But yeah, and then, oh, mate, I've had 3 arthroscopes after that because I went and played, but I was taking touch, tore some cartilage.
Yeah.
And then 2010, went back for another little run and tore more cartilage.
Wow.
Sensational.
Sensational.
Yeah.
That's good. And then you got a pretty good, like, gnarly scar on the arm as well.
Oh, is this the injury report?
The injury report.
Yeah, so I never missed a... I never missed a game of football from like a niggling injury.
Yep.
At all. Ever. I never got injured. So when I was 16, I snapped my radius of my ulna. I think that's what they're called.
Yeah, the two bones in the arm.
In your arm. Yep. So we're playing down at Smithtown and I was tackling a guy. I think I was 16. We're playing down the 18s. And a guy just tackled a guy and he like scissor kicked my legs, I think, my arm. And like scissor kicked my arm. In half, pretty much.
Wow.
And I just went to get off the ground and push myself up and just collapsed. And I looked down and was just like, holy shit. My arm was doing an S-bend, like halfway down my forearm. The arm did right angles and then went straight down.
Yeah.
It didn't break the skin. And I was like, ah! I just put my other arm up in the air and ran off the field. And it was flopping like side to side from the break. Like, so the middle of your forearm.
Yeah.
And it was like bending... It was disgusting.
Yeah, wow.
And then, yeah, sat in the sideline for a couple of hours before I went to the hospital. And long story short, woke up in cost with 2 plates in the arm.
There you go.
Yeah.
And good to go.
And then the knee was 3 years after that. So I had 2 years off, went back and played.
Yeah.
We won a comp. And then the year after, ACL.
Look at that.
Yeah.
It's quite the list.
Yeah, so.
Quite the list. Oh, I think for anyone that doesn't know, and like... I never saw you play football or didn't really know you as a footballer either. Like, I sort of just knew you from golf, right? So, from stories I've heard, I don't know if you're too modest to admit or not, but I heard, like, you're a pretty good footballer. And then talking to you, you're obviously, like, you loved playing football.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right,
mate,
so...
I wasn't going to play anything like elite or anything, but... I love it.
Look, it's just stories I heard. I heard you were pretty good.
It's good fun.
Yeah.
Good
and then
pedigree, mate.
For someone like who loved a sport so much and then to have all these things just keep happening over and over, it must be so frustrating.
It wasn't great. I spent like, I don't know how long. I reckon out of this 5-year period, I was on crutches, I reckon it just felt like every 6 months.
Yeah.
I was like, it was fucked.
Yeah.
But it's all good. Because we're going to England to play, me and a mate. We're going over there. We had a club lined up the year after I snapped it to go and play one of the Super League clubs. Just like the lower grades, nothing spectacular.
Yeah.
Just going to go and play and work and try and work our way up there. But then I snapped that. So
yeah.
Just went and partied anyway. Went over there and spent a year there. And, but yeah.
And just had a great time.
I should have just stuck to golf when I was... 14, 15. I left golf when I was 15 to go back to play football. Don't know why.
Oh, look, it's one of those things in hindsight. Like, I think...
So dumb.
I think if I had... Like, if I reversed my sports and, like, you know, grew up playing golf, went and did something else, whatever, I'd end up back playing golf anyway. Or I'd want to. And I'd be very frustrated if, you know, I had a bulging disc or something and just couldn't...
Yeah,
especially like, yeah, I feel like I've done the work, I can come back, and then 3 hours later I got to walk off again and
true and
go do something else. It would be so frustrating. So
yeah.
I've been very lucky in my life. My worst injury was a dislocated right knee.
Ew.
Yeah, but and believe it or not, I did it playing football as well.
Did you?
Yeah, I was playing for the school. So I don't know if my school friends are listening to this. We had a pretty average school team. We had a couple of like good ballers. I think Drew listens to this. He was pretty good.
Drew who?
Drew Powell.
I don't know.
Good footballer. So, but anyway, yeah, so I was playing for the school team and made a bit of a break and some little skank dove and ankle tapped me in and I landed on my landed on my knee at full speed. And same thing, got up and played the ball. Didn't like it hurt, but not too. I went to play the ball, played it and stood it and then pop. I went, yep, that'll do. So
yeah, I can't watch because of my arm, my knee, when they show replays of injuries on TV, I look the other way.
I love them.
I don't know how, makes me cringe.
I love them.
Far out, it makes me cringe.
Yeah.
But no, mate, it's random you brought up that.
Yeah, no, just thought I'd bring it up. Yeah. So I'm looking at the screen here at the moment. I think you need to hold the microphone
again. How did this last time?
Well, you got to be like right in front of it too. So if you're off to the side, it starts to go off a bit. So anyone listening can probably only just hear my voice.
It feels like I'm making out with a microphone.
And if I get right up close to it, the sound quality gets better.
How long have I been doing that for?
I only just noticed it, so okay. I don't know. But
sorry, Glenn.
We'll work on that. Have you ever like injured yourself playing golf? You've been pretty good.
No.
Yeah, I can't think of a time I've played golf and then
I've got injured playing golf.
Yeah, okay.
By another ball hitting me in the head.
Well, that's 10 meters different. Away. Yeah, that's
but I've never hurt myself playing golf.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm in pain because my back's... I feel like I'm old.
Yeah, yeah.
Nah,
yep.
No, I'm good. Never hurt myself playing golf.
Yeah, no, me either. It's been pretty lucky.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, golf is an old man's game.
It is, mate.
It's becoming a younger thing, I think. More younger people are coming in.
Yeah, well, everyone realises how good it is.
Yeah.
It's not actually that stuck up and only for the older people. It's actually pretty fun.
Yeah, I think that stigma of like it's for like the... Yeah, the super elite and rich or the old and retired is starting to die down a bit.
Yeah, no.
So, people are starting to realise, you know what, I can go out and have 4 hours with my mates.
Yep.
I can have a beer. A
couple of beers, a bit of relaxed time.
Yeah. And it's just, how good is this?
Yeah.
So, which is great to see.
Yeah, man.
Now,
I love it. Thanks for bringing up the dark times.
Thank you. No worries, man. We'll
no worries.
I'll give you a little session later. We'll get you through it.
Yeah, so, thank you.
Thank you for being so open with us.
It's all right.
Well, I just wanted to interview the 1989 Masters champ. This is a big moment for me.
It is,
I was nervous.
It is. Oh, dear.
Let's go through. You picked a very good sport this week. PGA versus LIV.
Ice hockey. You.
I know absolutely nothing about ice hockey. My knowledge of ice hockey starts and ends with a PlayStation 1 game. I used to get on there and play ice hockey.
Really?
You can get into punch-ups with people and, yeah, you can grab them and hit them.
The one thing I love about ice hockey, like, not that I watch it ever, but you're allowed to knuckle on.
Yeah, you can... It's full contact. It's brutal.
Yeah, and you just get 2 minutes in the bin.
Yeah, how good's that?
It's like...
Awesome.
Do you want to throw down? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
You just punch on and... Man.
You got to be a tough nut.
It's like the NRL now. You got all the hookers and halfbacks pushing and stirring up the front rowers. 10 years ago, if they did that...
Oh, you get knocked out.
And then you don't do it.
It's, no, that's right.
It's one thing I hate about it.
So it's hard.
I'm pretty sure the kids in Canada and wherever else they play, they're not running around the streets trying to fight everyone.
No.
They know it's only on the rink.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Anyway.
That's right.
Are you PGA?
I'm PGA. You're LIV. I did a bit of Googling for this. I looked up like the strongest PGA Tour players and 4 of the 5 that popped up straight away have gone to LIV. So, a bit disappointed.
All right. Spit it out, mate. Let's see what you got.
You want me going first?
Yep.
Ready? So, to my knowledge, correct me if I'm wrong, there's a goalie.
Correct.
2 defenders.
Yes.
A midfielder and then 2 attackers.
Yeah, sounds good.
Something like that.
I think there's like 2, 1 left and right defenseman.
Yep, okay.
Right wing, left wing and centre.
Okay, you ready?
I am ready.
I'm going to put this guy up at the front. Rory McIlroy.
He's like my height.
The rough and tough Irishman spends more time training with Conor McGregor than on the ice. Known for his barging and ripping opponent's shirts off in a tumble. He's my front guy.
He's your centre.
He's just tough nut.
Okay.
Yeah. My next guy, he's going to be up the front as well. Tony Finau.
You got 2 up the front.
Yeah, isn't it 2 up the front, 1 in the middle, 2 at the back?
No idea.
I'm going 2 up the front. I'm going attacking. Now the next guy at the front, Tony Finau. The
first Samoan to play ice hockey.
he quite possibly is. The Brian Boilano of ice hockey. You know who Brian is?
Negative.
Like one of the best figure skaters of all time. The Brian Boilano of ice hockey. Tony is known for his elegance on the ice and finesse at the goals.
Mm.
So just he doesn't just bash it in, he finesses that thing straight in.
I like it.
I think so at the front I've got my rough and barger and then I got my figure skater.
Okay.
In the middle. Aaron Baddeley.
Bads.
the Tonya Harding of men's ice hockey. Do you know who Tonya is?
I'm guessing she's a figure skater.
Yeah, but she was the one, they made a movie about her with Margot Robbie. She's the one that organized that hit on that other girl and like kneecapped her. And
Jesus.
Yeah, full.
I think I have seen that.
Yeah, yeah. Tonya Harding's her name. Yeah. So, like very talented figure skater in her own right and like one of the best at the time. It's just this other girl's, there's always them two competing. And then so like got like before this Olympic event got someone just kneecapped her.
I watched that.
Yeah. Anyway, the Tonya Harding of men's ice hockey. Bads has tons of natural talent, but is insecure about others maybe better. He's known to be around with a brown paper bag when opposing teams' players are kneecapped. One of my defenders, Cameron Champ. With Happy Gilmore like power, Champ often is picked in lower grades due to his inability to aim. He once split a puck in half, scoring an own goal. And then my last defender is actually another Cameron. Oh, sorry. Yeah, last defender is another Cameron. Cameron Young.
Oh, yeah?
The all-rounder, light and agile on the skates and strong with a stick. Cameron can hold his own in any game or fight. His only downfall is a distinct pause when he goes to throw a punch.
I like it.
And my goalie is Ricky Barnes.
Oh, yeah. I remember Ricky.
Hopeless on the ice, but the hardest man in the rink.
Yep.
Barnes has played the last 10 seasons in goal wearing nothing but a jock strap and nipple clamps. I could just imagine Ricky just... Yeah. He looks tough as nails.
I like that.
Looks like the head of an ice hockey man.
I think you've beaten me. Mine isn't that good.
I got in detail. That's why I was so late.
Oh, really? All right. So, my centre... I don't even know how you say his name. Angino Chikara. Anguino Chikara.
Okay, yep.
He's on the Spanish player from Liv. So he's Spain's first ever puck master. And he learned how to skate on his grandmother's roller skates. And he would often take trips to the Sierra Nevada to practice the art of ice skating and learning how to shoot the puck. He says his biggest ice hockey influence is Seve Ballesteros.
Okay. Has Seve ever stepped foot on ice?
My left defenseman is another Spaniard, Sergio Garcia.
I wanted to put him in mine.
Sergio is a prolific trip hazard for opponents. And Garcia is known to enter challenges skate or blade up, wreaking serious harm to his opposition. He says his biggest influence is Seve Ballesteros.
Well, there's a video of, remember when Sergio, he was playing a tour event and took his shoe off and kicked it, or threw it and then kicked it down the fairway. Imagine doing that with a skate.
There's two Spanish psychos. So, my powerful right wing is Brooks Koepka.
Nice.
And he says he always had his sights set on Wayne Gretzky's daughter, but she was taken, so he slid in on Jenna Sims. Gretzky's daughter was taken by other ice hockey legend Dustin Johnson. Koepka loves a good slap shot, though due to his custard arms, loses every fifth. The left wing is Caleb Surratt. So the sleek sliding left wing is a wizard with the puck. In high school, on the North Carolina Trinity High School ice skating team, he once held the puck for 10 minutes before anyone could take it off him.
Oh no, he's dropped the notes.
Hang on. Hold fire.
There's spill. We're going to put a pause on this. We putting a pause on?
Yeah, we have to.
Yeah, we have to. We've got to get stuff stored. All right. Crosses averted.
And his favourite shot is the backhand. He also moves across the ice with elegance and grace. All right, my right defenceman, HV3.
Harold Varner.
An aggressive player often referred to as the American pit bull on skates.
Yep.
He spent most of his time on the penalty bench out of any era since ice hockey has been around. He often uses the grip end of the hockey stick as a whacking stick, batting the opposition. That's HV3 for you.
Excellent.
And then the goalie is Big Henrik Stenson. So many think his nickname is to do with golf, but the Iceman has a secret talent in the goals on the rink. He has reflexes like a ninja and holds a record for the most saves in a season. That's my ice hockey team.
I like it.
Yeah, I think you nailed me.
I think you've got physically the better team. I think physically on the ice rink, you've got the better team. I think I've just got better backstories.
Yeah, your stories are better. Your stories are way better. So,
I enjoyed that. Ice hockey's a great one.
It is.
What I'm loving about it, because it's like even like basketball, ice hockey, like I've watched games. Yeah. And I know what the sport is, and you know, I feel like I could go out there and shoot a hoop or whatever, but like, you know, positions, rules, all this sort of stuff, I didn't know a lot about. And then you do this and you start to learn a bit about...
Can you ice skate?
I ice skate okay. I haven't ice skated in like probably 10 years.
Boreham Dance, I think you can ice skate.
So, in about 10 years. But I was always like, I'm very confident on my feet. I'm not going to do a triple spin and all this sort of stuff, but...
I'd like to see that.
Actually, I once ice skating as a teenager and going around the rink, and then someone in front of me fell over. Like fell sideways.
And I
jumped over him. Yeah, did the big jump over and landed. I was like, hey, I'm a superhero.
Wow.
But yeah, I haven't been ice skating in about 10 years.
Yeah. Teddy wants to go. I'm like, not yet. Because you'll just go, whooshka.
You can get the frames.
He ain't using no frame.
Use the frame for the first, like, loop and then get it off.
No frame, mate.
Well, give him a helmet.
Yeah, that's a better idea.
And some that's a better idea. And some knee pads, maybe. And then get him out there.
Right. Very good. Man, so, are we keeping score?
Keeping score. I think it's 2 each.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are we doing next week?
There's a great question. You want to make it, like, we'll make it really, like, so we can get in detail about the sport. Doubles tennis.
Okay.
Doubles tennis.
Mixed or?
Mixed.
Mixed doubles tennis.
Because we don't concentrate a lot on the women's game. I think I had Dame Laura Davies and...
Well,
one of my teams, but
I don't feel comfortable making fun of the women.
Sensitive topic.
They'll come back and haunt me.
You could be in trouble.
Yeah,
you're not so scared of the men.
Somebody would take it the wrong way.
Yeah, Brooks won't.
No, Brooks won't care.
No,
Play-Doh, mate.
Play-Doh. Oh man, Corfy, I've heard rumors around the golf industry that the average score in the last 2 weeks has increased by about 1.5 shots because they haven't had your tip of the week. it's been a dark couple of weeks in the golf world. Well, actually, before we get into that, do you see the winner? So, we currently at Coffs, we got the All Abilities.
Yeah.
Like, and it's New South Wales champs.
I think so.
And
All Inclusive. Yeah.
All Inclusive, that's the one. And so... I believe, like, Cam Pollard, he's second at the moment, I believe.
Yeah.
Last time I looked.
I think he had 3 over.
3 over. And then Wayne Persky, who, you know, I think anyone that plays golf know who, or anyone's in the industry knows who Wayne is. So, he's playing as well.
Yeah, 3 under.
3 under par. I think he's leading by about 6. So, yeah. It's pretty cool seeing those guys. There's a couple of guys there in the para golfers, which is, like, anyone who doesn't know, like, these right. guys who, like it's they're paraplegics. Like, they got very... Like, they can't walk, right? And they might have a bit of movement in one of their arms.
Yeah, there's and a couple of them who only got one arm in a paragolfer.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
It's so impressive.
Really cool.
So, yeah, it's good to have them out and about there.
Yeah.
And I'll be keeping a close eye on the scores. I think I'm looking at the scores and, man, I'm glad I can't play. I'd get toweled up.
Yeah. Yeah, they're awesome.
They are awesome.
Mate, they're unreal. Okay. Tip of the week. So, what people need to do, they need to know what their body can do, okay? They need to know their limitations
okay.
and know what they can do. So, yep. There's no point striving to make your hands get higher or have more shoulder turn or have more hip rotation or whatever
yep.
if your body can't do it. You need to know what your body can do. So, you need to go see a sports exercise physiologist or someone who's qualified in TPI.
Yeah.
And then you build your swing to...
Ideally, you see someone who has both.
Both.
Yeah.
Like Hugh Campbell. Or... And then once you get assessed and you know your limitations, and it might be a reason why you can't do something, then you build the swing around your limitations.
Yeah, I think if you are serious about your golf, it's definitely something you got to do.
Man,
right, and get looked over. And
one of my clients, he went to Huey once and worked on heaps of stuff, and then did some like rotation in the shoulder stuff, right? And he went from this position in his backswing to like, in one session, went, his hands were like a foot and a half higher.
Yep.
Just from one session.
Yeah.
Doing exercises at home, unlocking some stuff. It was incredible.
Yeah. I think the good thing about, like, because I only know one, but the good thing about Huey is he has a golfing background as well. Yeah. So he has a bit of an idea on, you know, what positions should be. He's not going to get too much into it, but he knows like what a golfer sort of needs.
Yeah, absolutely. And he comes out to lessons with me.
Yeah.
And interacts with him.
Yeah, when I was teaching like little Coop, and he'd come out and do our stuff. And so we always like talking back and forth with what he was doing and stuff. Yeah. Like, lucky for him, he's pretty young, so he's pretty malleable. Yeah, but
know your limitations, know what your body can do, and build your swing around what your body can do.
Awesome.
Don't try and do something that your body can't do.
It's definitely worth looking into.
Yeah.
Because you don't sort of realize.
Yeah.
Right? So
it's massive.
Like I know for me, I feel like I'm okay, but there's a lot of places I'm not very flexible. Mm. I can't get around. So I'm lucky I got very good upper and lower body separation. So that comes in handy. Get the lower half going first.
Does.
But yeah, it's definitely something you got to know.
Absolutely, mate. Brendan, what do you got for us mentally?
What have I got for you mentally? It mixes into a couple. I'm bringing this up because I was doing some stuff today, and I think I said it about four times. So I think it was worth going through.
In your nose, out your mouth.
Know your breathing. Yeah, that's a good one. That's not it, but definitely worth knowing your breathing. Practice your weakness for improved mental confidence.
Okay.
So, I got this today because I was teaching, I did a few things in bunkers, right? And I always tell everyone, the best bunker players in the world never hit it in the bunker. Right? So, and the reason for that is I was going through, like, if you have a shot where you need to go over the bunker and you're not a very confident bunker player, I can guarantee your ball's going to end up in that bunker.
Mm.
And then you're going to have a hard time and frustrating time getting out. If you're a confident bunker player and competent to go, I'm going to get this out. Like that might be the beginning stage. I'm confident I'm going to get the ball out 9.5 times out of 10. Yeah. If you're confident in that, you're going to end up in that bunker less because you're not worried or thinking about hitting it in the bunker.
Yeah.
You're thinking about, okay, well, that's not a concern. I want to try and land it here. And then, so that builds that confidence in a better shot. Yeah. So, I think that goes for anything. Like if you're not particularly good at punching out of the trees, I know it sounds like something you don't want to waste your time practicing, but it is a shot that you need, right? So, practice, you know, hitting it out of the trees, and you're probably going to end up in there less because you're not thinking about, oh, I don't want to go left, I don't want to go right.
Practice that heaps.
It's a good one.
I'm always in there.
And to be honest, you're not very good.
No.
You're a better fairway golfer.
I'm way better off the fairway.
Which isn't a bad thing, but you do end up in these trouble situations. And it could be something as easy as, like, it's just like whatever your weakness is. That's where, again, stats come in handy, knowing all that. But, yeah, if you're not a very good driver of the ball, you practice your driving, make it a little bit better. And then that gives you that mental confidence on the tee. You're not going, oh, I'm going to hook it in the water again. Because I guarantee you're going to hook it in the water again.
Don't hit left. Don't hit left. Don't hit left.
Left.
Shit, it's gone left.
Well, there's only two options from there. You're going to talk yourself into going left, or you're going to leave the blade so open.
Yeah.
It's going to end up 1,000 miles right. So correct. That's my little thing.
I like it.
Practice your weakness for added mental confidence.
Very nice.
Very nice.
Very nice.
Caulfield, I've enjoyed being back.
What else we got? Is that it?
That's all I've got.
Perfect.
I'm tired.
Likewise.
I gotta go to bed.
I'm going to have a sauna.
That's right. You got a new sauna.
Just put it together.
So, what's the temperature got to get to?
You can put it on whenever you want. It goes from 30 up until 80 or something.
Can you slow roast a chook in there?
Well, I'll go in there for an hour on 70. We'll see what happens.
So yeah, you come out tomorrow.
Yeah, Cara's one of one for ages.
Awesome.
And we just put it together. She just had one tonight.
Yep.
So, yeah, I might give it a whirl tomorrow. I might go to the gym.
Lovely.
Next to the sauna.
Great work, man.
So, I've got gym, sauna. I just need the simulator next to it.
Yeah.
And then we are rocking.
Mm. Look, I heard rumors. Trackman's looking to sponsor the podcast.
Yes. Scott Jolly, if you're listening.
Yeah. No, that's just what I heard. And I think, you know, being the best golf podcast on the Mid-North Coast.
In 2450.
2450. The best or only?
Doesn't matter.
The best. The best podcast in 2450. It's definitely worth the investment.
It's been good.
This has been fun.
Love it.
We'll do it again.
Cheerio.
See ya.